Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and we're speaking to you from Washington, D.C. This is the New Africa Business Association, along with Black Wall Street Business Association, Blog Talk Radio. And we will be back with tonight's conversation, where our subject tonight is Black Wall Street USA and the New Africa Business Association merging to commemorate the 100th anniversary of Black Wall Street. So again, we'll be back and we will open those discussions up with myself and my co-host. And we'll be right back in just a moment to start our show. Again, I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed, and greetings to everyone.
Great to see you, Brother Aziz. How are you this evening?
Oh, alhamdulillah, brother, doing good, good. Excited about the show tonight and looking forward to some of the participants in the show to discuss some of the business opportunities that exist today, and as we always say on the show, and your number one thing is we're interested in people vesting in one another as a community, because we know there's so many African-American towns around America that were once thriving and were destroyed by, you know, haters and that, and we're trying to replicate that again, you know. You know, like I say, reach one, teach one. We're talking about build a community and, you know, and start a community of investors. So glad to be here, Brother Bilal. Glad to be with you, my brother.
Brother Aziz, thanks for your opening comments. I know we are expecting a large audience tonight. We are just about, I would say, doing something sort of historical here, Brother Aziz. Tonight's guest is going to be none other than American Muslims and Christians. As you know, Black Wall Street USA is basically a Christian organization, and African Business Association is an African-American Muslims association, and both of our associations are old business associations. It ain't like their associations just started, and both associations are national associations. What do I mean about being national associations? Is that we network and identify businesses with each other all over the country. So we have business directory, business locations of all of our business all over the country. And soon we'll be putting together business directories as to where it'll be very easy to recognize an African-American business. As you know, that's what the New Africa Business Association and Black Wall Street is all about, networking with each other and identifying businesses with each other so we can do business with each other. And we tried to do that in many ways, but as far as this blog radio station, we do it by actually talking and identifying our businesses. And just a few moments, Brother Aziz, we're going to open up our mics. I wanted to just let you know that both associations need your memberships. So again, if you would go online, we definitely need your memberships. If you would go online, and again, Brother Aziz, if you want to give them the address to both organizations as to how they can participate with them, go right ahead, and then we'll open up the mics.
Well, you New Africa Business Association, we have, you can visit us at our email website, and that would be newafricaba@gmail.com, and that's newafricaba@gmail.com. Also, we have a web address, and that's newafricabusinessassociation.com. The other email we have, Brother Brian, that's nabassac.gmail.
Yes, sir.
You
at
gmail.com.
At gmail.com.
nabassac@gmail.com.
Yes, sir.
The Black Wall Street email for Black Wall Street, brother. I don't have that sitting right in front of me. I should be able to. That would be www.blackwallstreet.org. And that is www.blackwallstreet.org. And from there, you can get in and see how you can get your membership to both these different organizations that truly need your participation in them. And that is how you can get in contact with us and see about your membership. www.blackwallstreet.org and for the New Africa Business Association, that's nabassac@gmail.com.
Okay, thanks so much, Brother Aziz. And so, like I said, this evening we're going to go ahead and open up our mics. We're looking at any business owners, especially any directors of the Black Wall Street, or any business owners or directors of New Africa Business Association. We definitely want to hear greetings from you. Also, we're expected to have on with us the filmmakers of Black Wall Street, those who are planning on doing film projects. Doing a film on Black Wall Street. So we're going to be talking about quite a few things. I can tell you right now, Black Wall Street is going to be talked about until after that commemoration next year. So whatever you know about Black Wall Street, we certainly invite your comments If not, then you can always identify your business, let us know who you are, and hopefully we can do business with each other. I am going to go to a sponsor break, Brother Aziz, for those who are helping to pay for our station, and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Mike, be open.
Natural Skincare by Karima with Shea Butter. We offer a great selection of 100% all-natural moisturizing creams for the face and body, without preservatives. Also, check out our hair products. Order online and get them delivered to your home. Check out our new online shop at www.etsy.com. Search for Natural Skincare by KHB. For more information, visit us online at www.naturalskincarebykarima.com or email us at naturalskincarebykarima@gmail.com. Give us a call at 301-534-4475 or fax us at 240-318-3537. Try out our newest product, our peppermint foot rub, for a luxurious feeling your feet won't forget.
And welcome back to the night show. Again, my name is Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and our mics are open at this time. Again, I like to start off, if we have any directors from Black Wall Street or any business owners or directors from the New Africa Business Association, we'd like for you to identify yourself.
Good evening, Omar Kenyatta. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you, my brothers and sisters.
I'm
calling from Richmond, and I tremendously enjoyed the introduction statements in regards to the partnership between Black Wall Street and New Africa. I think is a winning vision for the future in terms of, you know, breaking down those barriers and bringing about that common vision of empowerment and stability. You know, I think this is what the next generation is looking for.
Well, Brother Umar, and let me just introduce, Brother Umar is going to be the state director for Black Wall Street and the New Africa Business Association. He's the state director for the state of Virginia. So, Brother Umar, thank you, and I'll continue to sort of interject yourself in tonight's conversation. We welcome you as a guest to join us. Again, our mics
thank
are
you
opening.
Very much.
Thank you, brother. Our mics are opening. Representatives from Wall Street, Black Wall Street, our New Africa Business Association, business owners, or what have you, the mics are open. All right. Well, then, until everybody's ready to join in on our conversation, Brother Umar, Brother Aziz, are those of us that are participating at the moment. But before I go any further, is Dr. Stone, are you with us? Okay, well, they will, they probably will be back on soon, but I can tell you our box of our mail is suddenly filled up, so we have quite a few call-ins, and I don't know how many we have on the internet, but we do have a nice audience participation. So again, I'm going to all the mics are open. I thank everybody for giving everyone a chance to come on one at a time. But everyone who's listening right now, if you have a comment, we welcome your comments.
Go right ahead. Well, someone was getting ready to say something before I said something.
That was Kenyatta, but I can go right ahead. I just wait for you, brother. Go ahead.
Well, it was about you what I was getting ready to say, Brother Kenyatta. I wanted to say that Brother Kenyatta, Brother Bilal, shared some information with me about the business that existed in Richmond before it got destroyed. And it was like the information was so good, brother, so informative. I never knew that things like that existed in Richmond. And it just goes, what he told me just goes to prove how many African Americans after the Civil War was over with that tried to build, to become the dependent on one another, independent from the slave masters. Business and his direction and starting their own, showing that they had these skills and ability to do for self. And it was a powerful message, information that it gave me about what was going on in Richmond, which is, you know, only 110 miles at the most from where we live, you know. It just goes to show how black folks struggling and trying to do for self, as we're talking about in, on our program every week. So that's,
yeah.
that's what I was going to say, Brother Kenyatta. If you would share some of that whenever, you know, we'd appreciate that.
Well, I think Richmond is not unique as what was happening across the country. I think one of the most unfortunate situations is it's been the downplaying of significance and value of the Honorable Booker T. Washington. I think clearly his philosophy as it relates to, even though it was in a rural context, because many African Americans had not necessarily moved into an urban setting, but the principles of self-reliance and as he say, drop your buckets where you are, that, and you know, he realized that the skill set that many African Americans had after slavery had market value. You know, whether it was a carpenter, iron worker, I mean, so, but obviously his philosophy was, hey, look, how do you make this work for you to accumulate wealth, particularly as it relates to land holdings? And, you know, it's a whole narrative around his influence throughout America in regards to the establishment of the National Negro Business Association, which was the context of generating these ideas across America. About C.J. Walker, in terms of her products, Maggie Walker, in terms of the establishment of African-American banks and credit unions or mutual aid societies all throughout America. So we have a long historical narrative all the way back to Africa about the significance of, you know, self-determination, financial independence, land owners. You know, that was a mindset. You know, and I think someone mentioned early on in the conversation about a film production. I think one of the things we need to capture is, even though we talk about Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, but there was enclaves all throughout America. And I doubt very seriously we have any documentation of those enclaves that existed, even though many of them, you know, for the most part, through urban development had, you know, basically, you know what I'm saying, the political structure, you know, pretty much torn down. But I think we would do a great benefit for the next generation if we can get some sponsorship to kind of tour the country to talk about, you know, the legacy of entrepreneurship as it relates to, you know, their own independent business districts, even though it was under the disguise of segregation. But the fact of the matter is it thrived. It created jobs. It created upper mobility. So it's a narrative that we need to document and actually have it enclave, you know, for ourselves.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
And again, we any comments that anyone wish to make after Brother Umar speaks, the mics are open. We welcome your comments. Carl,
this is Brother Aziz again, Brother Bilal. I was watching a program last night about how the St. Louis Arch, that big arch that you see in St. Louis, was designed and everything. And what I wanted to say, in the beginning of the program, it was telling about how the arch, how the formation of the idea of putting a arch there in memory of, you know, Thomas Jefferson, as well as some other people I was trying to remember. But anyway, where they wanted to build up the St. Louis waterfront a little bit different. It just so happened to be that the spot where the arch is sitting and that waterfront development there, it happened to have been a thriving black community at one time.
Yeah, I agree.
And they went in there and once again, historically, again, destroyed a whole complete black community.
Exactly.
That was thriving.
Exactly.
To put up this.
Exactly.
You know, and when I saw that, it just made me say, man, you know, every time we try to set up something, the evil forces come in to destroy it, you know. And I'm praying that this time, by us vesting in one another and having more access to the law, having more of our own people that are attorneys and are people that know the law well, enable us to be able to progress without being hampered, because we have the ways and means and we have the intellect among our people to do it, because it was done before. And I just wanted to put that out there in case some of our listeners didn't know that, that big arch there in St. Louis, also like Central Park in New York, used to be a thriving black community.
Okay. Again, the mics are open. You hearing Brother Aziz's comments? We want to know what are your comments. So our mics are open. Anyone who wish to comment, we welcome your comments. All right, Brother Aziz, I want to always get back until the rest of our audience wish to participate with us, but. I'm sorry, is there any business owners, brother, Imam down, brother,
Tariq, I do, brother Tariq will be on a little later on in the show, and he's going to share some information about, you know, their business, import, export, and how they're able to... Get things out of China and stuff like that for us. And they have a thriving export.
Sounds like he might be with us, Brother Aziz. Let's see if I hear him in the background. Brother Tariq, are you with
us?
Yes.
Greetings and peace. Walaikum as-salam. Greetings and peace, everyone. How you all doing this evening?
Everything's fine, Brother Tariq. How are you?
Doing good, brother.
Good. Well, I'm gonna try to be brief as possible, but I was sharing this with Brother Shahid. I think it was yesterday, in reference to the Black Wall Street around the country. Well, I'm here in Mississippi, on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, Biloxi area, where there's a city in the northwest part, I think, more than North Mississippi, Mound Bayou, Mississippi. It is 98% African American. In 1887, the land was purchased and the city was founded by, I think it was Isaiah Montgomery. It was, again, the first African American settlement in the state, and it was very they had numerous of businesses established there. The downfall of the city did not come by way of a burnout or riot or anything like that. I don't know if there was any underlying scheme to cause the market to fail in that area, but that was what the report saying what brought about the downfall of the city. That had numerous of businesses there in that city here in Mississippi, and again that was in 1887. That being said, I want to go on to something I think either you Bilal Shahid was trying to say. I don't want to speak too much on the import part of what I normally do. Due to the fact that we're unable, the group that I belong to, Commonwealth Partners, due to the fact of the virus and some other, you know, political issues that's going on, we're not able to bring any of the unlimited merchandise or products that's already manufactured, or one can get things manufactured from all of those manufacturers there in China, as well as we have Italian men suits by Enzo Tavari, which is a Super 150 wool, Mantoni, which is a Super 140 wool, Bertinelli is a wool sipman, Carlo Lusso and Giorgio Fiorelli is a polyrayon, and Manchester and Taylor is a microfiber. Well, we're not able to get those either due to the virus because everything is shut down. So that being said, when it do open back up, we will let you all know where you can get unlimited merchandise from those manufacturers that have these products and merchandise. Pardon me. Now, I am the founder and the director of the Entrepreneurs in Development Network. Due to the virus, we ceased having our monthly workshops that we was having. But back in June, I started doing them every Monday night. But last month and so far this month, I wasn't able to get back and even do them weekly. So, but the Entrepreneurs in Development Network, we deal with how-to workshops, business startups, how to write a business plan, how to get financing, how to get merchandise, how to market on social media. And basically, at these workshops, we cover everything that need to be covered in how to start a business, even on how to bid on government contracts. So I don't think we leave anything uncovered when it comes to business establishment. I think I mentioned marketing on social media, which is very, very important in these times that we're living in, because, again, I was sharing with Shahid yesterday concerning having a Facebook business page. And I see a numerous of Black Wall Street group pages on Facebook. Now, Facebook has 2 billion monthly active users every month, the largest platform out there. And if you're not aware of it, they let you build these business pages for free. However, there are some fees if you want them to do a few more things like boost the post, et cetera, et cetera. But I would highly recommend that, because you can go live anytime you choose to go live from your page or from your personal page, either or. So I think I've kind of summed it up. So if anyone have any more, want to have some questions with me, I'll try to answer them. And we've been in existence since 2015 and everything. So I thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you.
I'd like just
go right ahead.
I'd like to respond. Brother Tariq?
Yes.
Yes, this is Omar Kenyon in Virginia. Just want to share some things with you. My son, Suleiman, was the communication director for the U.S. China Chamber of Commerce, and he speaks mainly Chinese, and he lived in China for a semester, you know, as a graduate from Morehouse. So, you know, when things do open up, you know what I'm saying, if you, you know what I'm saying, he's a very much resource person in terms of that whole context of manufacturing base in China.
Let me share this with you since you brought that up. Our founder and CEO of a Commonwealth Partners' son live in that district over there in China, and he speaks Mandarin Chinese. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, but that's still good to know.
But another thing that I want to kind of share with you in terms of, I know you probably geographically target China, but you know there are about 52 Muslim countries that's part of the OIC, Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and of course they have a Muslim World Industry Council, which, you know, I think it leads some opportunity to kind of do some Muslim American engagement, even from an observer status, you know, in their assembly. To kind of talk about, you know, just Muslim America, world Muslim kind of dynamics, but it will give us a platform to enter into maybe some global connections throughout the Muslim world, particularly in terms of the textile industry, as well as other commodities that they are looking for markets in America. You know, so that's a whole base that we got a spiritual connection to that I would think we need to also begin to explore.
Mm. Well, I'm gonna have to do a follow up on this. If I'm hearing you correct, and if I'm hearing you incorrect, I apologize. But I'm gonna have to follow up on this. But I think other countries are being looked at to purchase from, as well as. We will buy products from companies here in America as well, not just outside of America.
Okay. This is Bilal Byron again, and I'd like for all you guys to stay on the phone and just continue to participate in this conversation. But I like to say one of the reasons why I called this show tonight and had Muslims and our Christian business owners and directors to come together is because it's a matter of the sharing of information. When we start talking about importing and exporting businesses from overseas, with African-American Muslims, this is nothing new. Our leaders, Imam W.D. Muhammad, took us into many, many markets overseas that we have access to. And, of course, you just heard one of our – and saying that to say – and this is why I say this is so historical, is that now we're bringing together Muslims and Christians, which means we're bringing together the entire African-American community, the good people in our community. But I'm saying, brothers and sisters, even though this pandemic is slowing us down, because at some point we was in full operation, but the pandemic is slowing us down, all of this is going to return. And when it all returns, what you're hearing here, if as a business person, we can now do business directly with each other and we can cut out this middleman who we know is somebody going to rip us off. There's no more having to run like there was a time if an African-American wanted to do business, he would have to go somewhere like that. I remember in the old, the old days, they would tell us to go up to New York and go to the shops up there and different places. But that was just not the excess of any of our business outlets and places we could do business. But now, like I said, our leaders and African-Americans now have expanded universal. And we have business connections all over. So, again, these business representatives, like I said, business may be a little slow now, but it's all coming back. And when it all comes back, this is a good time, an excellent time for us to talk about business. And this is what I mean about becoming vested, because, again, we can now move large volumes. Last week we had on the a station a gentleman from out of New York as to where he builds these units, as to where now we were talking about having distributorships in certain areas of the country. This brother can provide these units and build them for us. We'll have, what was that brother's name again, Brother Aziz? I have it here. I just don't have my notes. Go right ahead, Brother Aziz.
The brother was saying they build container homes, and his name was Brother Al Scott. And his other partner, Brother Al Scott, was in New York, and his other partner, Brother Al Rogers, Al Scott, I think, was in out in Texas, and Brother Rogers was in New York.
Yeah.
And they build these container homes made out of these shipping containers. And if our listeners would go online and look up container homes, they would see the number of different styles or models that are built from shipping containers, which are 8 feet by 40 feet. And it's been some remarkable work done behind that.
Thanks so much, brother. Is Director Stone, is she with us? Director Stone, she's not with us. Okay, but anyway, my point is that we have... the African-American community has everything that we need in order to do really global business. It's just a matter of now, like I said, sponsorships and monies. So the question is that we're going to present these businesses, and it's up to you to decide whether it's worth to become vested or become invested with all of us and bring about markets from all over the world that, like I said, that are open up to us now. And when these markets are opening up, you can have whatever products you want. They was telling me that Just about anything that you see in your homes right now, African Americans can actually have, and we was buying these things directly from China, but like I said, the market sort of slowed everything down, but it's all coming back. So again, this is what this station is all about, getting to know each other. And so because we have the talent, and a lot of this talent is on this station tonight, but a whole bunch of it is out there still to come. I do want to say that one of the things we're very much interested in, and I heard it on the sports channels this week, and I didn't realize how bad it was, and this is our athletic program, especially when it comes to our kids trying to make it in sports. And so this is another. So those of you, I understand that there are professional athletes out there that like to go into this. I know I would. In other words, my point is this: if they can make billions of dollars, these colleges and what have you, the high schools, and they can make all this money from the talent of our own kids, our own communities, then why can't we make the same money and do it ourselves? Why does it have to be an NCAA or an NBA or any other white organization exploiting our kids and making billions of dollars when it's something that we can simply do ourselves? And I know we can do it because I am 70 years old, and I can remember as a kid, baseball, when I was coming up, man, baseball was a community, and I'm not only a game to be played, but it was like a fair on the weekend. Everybody was out there vending all types of businesses was going on at these community sport events. And so again, all of this can come back, brothers and sisters. Monies that are being spent. My thing is that have it spent right back in our own communities. So again, I don't have the answer, but all together, collectively, we do. The mics are open. So again, I have my opinions about this, but this radio station is to find out your opinion. So again, the mics are open. We love to hear your suggestions.
Bilal, may I? This is Tariq again with the Entrepreneurs and Development Network. One thing that we ask the participants to strongly consider doing is to look at what service and or product that the participants offer that attend the workshop. Okay, and before you go outside of these group of people or this network, look and see if you can use their service or purchase their product. And this is nothing that we have written. It's just a verbal invite that look at what this person has and support them before you go outside of the network. And our workshop has been free. And, of course, we was using the public library, which we cannot charge, et cetera, et cetera, and everything. But, again, we ask those persons to look at what this person offers and support them. And that's one way I think we need to strongly look at. And I'm basing that on a verse from the Quran. And I'm going to try not to make this a quote-unquote a religious piece, but we can't separate business from religion either. But no, when we look at
right.
And those of you who are familiar with this verse in the Quran, it's chapter, I forget the chapter right now, so but anyway, it's Quraysh. And that Arabic term, Quraysh, has in its meaning to earn, not just a name of an ethnic group which Prophet Muhammad came from. He was a member of that group, God peace be upon him. He was part of that ethnic group of Arabs. But that term in Arabic means to earn as well. But then when you go back and you look at the beginning of the chapter or the surah, it says, li ilafi Quraysh, ilafihin But the key word I'm trying to point out in there is Alisa, Le'ilafi, where they say the coming together of this particular ethnic group. And what did they do? In the verse going to say how they made journeys winter and summer. They was traveling winter and summer for trading, for exchanging goods and everything. So, again, that verse came to my mind based on something you said, is that we need to look at that strongly as a people, because one of the first things we know reportedly that, again, our prophet did, is that when he built his masjid, the first mosque, he set up a marketplace, a business place as well, because that's what he was before God chose him to receive the revelation of the Quran. And if you look at all the other great men that came before him that got revelation, they was in some type of business. When you research this real carefully and everything, but again, I think if we look amongst ourselves and see what type of service or product that this person has, and support them to the best of our ability, that would be a power right there. Because when you look at the statistics in different agencies like Pew Research Center. I'm trying to see what other agents are, Nielsen as well. Well, another agency, and I think the NAACP, and I collected this data, and I kind of reduced it down to what I'm getting ready to present. And this has nothing to do with a person's ethnicity per se, where I'm going against them. That's not the intent here. Because we don't know who we're buying from. If we're buying wholesale, we don't know what that person's religious affiliation is. That's not what we're trying to address. Because what we say at the workshop, because other person outside of my faith tradition be there outside of my ethnic, be there as well. So, but to get to the point, it's reported that in the Jewish community, that dollar, and many of you might already know this, circulate 26 times, the Caucasian community 20 times, the Asian community 11 times, the Latino community 9 times. I'm talking about the circulation of the dollar. In the African-American community, they say 0 to 6 hours or 0 to 1 times. So that is not very, very a good circulation of that dollar. So, again, I just wanted to give this disclaimer again. We're not saying not to do business with any of these ethnic groups. It would be virtually impossible to not to do business with a person that's Jewish or Caucasian or Asian or Latino or whatever faith tradition they are. No, we don't want to get so caught up in that and everything, but we have to look at that as an ethnic group. If we're talking about the different the reviving of Black Wall Street, where we have to look at supporting each other foremost and first, if we're going to do this, and you know, and I'm trying to so far stay away from reparations, so we get on a whole nother subject, because if reparations do come about, but if you look at giving monies to people who have unchecked spending habits, they're not going to invest that money to grow where it can make more money for them. It's just going to be spent, and they're going to still be poor and broke. So we need to look at how to teach these people more how to skills on investing money. I remember when Bill Cosby bought into one of the professional basketball teams, I think it was years ago, and he said he went into the dressing room or something. He seen all these young African-American millionaires on the game board machine playing. So he went out and hired a financial person like yourself, Brother Bynum, and to show them how to invest their money. And this is what we need to look at, and more so than just spending, because, you know, we're big spenders. big spender. So thank you for giving me
absolutely
another opportunity here.
Okay. All right. Anyone wish to follow up on the brother's comments? The mics are open. Your comments are welcome.
Yeah, this is Omar. I want to change a context to some political platforms that I think we need to begin to engage, particularly as we talk about the development of a Black Wall Street enclave. That is a cluster of business, 7% or more in a specific geographical area, be it in a rural area of a city. And I was thinking about, I think I had this context with Brother Spear in regards to the idea of getting a city council to pass a resolution of intent. That is, acknowledge the fact that the Black Wall Street business enclave becomes an integral part of the city's, economic development strategy. It's not a binding resolution, but it does acknowledge the fact and give legitimacy to the idea that the urban area is going to look at that realistically in terms of land development. And I just want to get some feedback on that, because I think it's very critical that we recognize the fact that as we talk about the idea of 7% business and land development, that's a mirror existence with commercial real estate development and business activity.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that's in the zoning office of your local government, and city council for the most part dictate that kind of policy direction. I just want anyone to have any kind of experience having an exchange with either mayor or member of city council in a particular area around the Black Wall Street initiative.
Can anyone answer or comment? If so, the mics are open. I can tell you right now, brothers and sisters, we do have a very large audience, but we have a very quiet audience. This evening, but we got about 10 more minutes. And let's say this, Brother Aziz, we know that this blog radio is the New Africa Business Association's blog radio. And we have merged with the Black Wall Street, so we're doing the radio station together. But at 8 o'clock this evening, right after the show, we'll be switching over to Black Wall Street Northeast Region. And that would be a representative from Black Wall Street would be from North Carolina going north all the way to Connecticut. So the Northeast region of North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, D.C., Delaware, Pennsylvania, Jersey, New York, and all the way up to Maine would be the Northeast region's conference. And that's who will be on the conference right after this show. And for those of you who would like to participate in the Northeast Regents Conference, the call-in number is, got it right here somewhere, the call-in number is 712-451-0683. The call-in number again, and I repeat, 712-451-0683. And then there's a code that you must access. And that code number is 614060#. 614060# is the access number. Anyone have any questions on that? Or you can ask me now. Okay, we got about 10 more minutes. So I'm going to again go right back to our mics are open. If you have a comment on our business, if you have a comment on whatever's happening politically, or if you want to introduce your business, then let us know who you are. Or any comments on our anniversary, which is going to be next year. And so this is something that you'll be hearing a lot, especially when you go to Black Wall Street USA at our 8 o'clock show. So again, our mics are open. I do want to go back to comment on... I'm not going to make my closing comments right now. I'm going to go back and open the show up. We've got about 10 more minutes. We still want to hear from you, the listeners. So our mics are open. If you have a comment, we welcome your comments.
Yes, Brother Bilal. This is Brother Aziz again. I'd like to comment on Brother Tariq when he was talking about the identifying different businesses in our community. And that's one of the things that's very important, is identifying African-American businesses in our community and trying to get them to come together with us, because a lot of them are separate and they, you know, they're doing their thing. Some of them are bonded, some of them are not bonded, but we still would like to get them, you know, find out, identify these people, see what they're doing, because back in the 80s, and maybe a short portion of the 90s when they came in, but surely back in the 80s, in the Muslim community of the Mosque Cares, we did have a national business director that was published out a couple of times, and it was Muslim businesses all over the country, all over, and it identified them in every city and everywhere where it was possible that wherever you go, you know, at least you could find somewhere to eat, as well as other businesses that existed. But this is something that we, you know, we'll work on too, having a national African American business directory with Black Wall Street and the New Africa Business Association. And I think by having this business directory like that, it would allow us to be able to freely move around the country and know where we can go identify with people of our own nationality or whatever, and be able to do business as well as get whatever services they have to offer. Years ago, Imam Waris D. Muhammad, you know, Islamic leader here in America, mostly for the African Americans, he told us about a guy named Aga Khan over in India, where the Muslim population back at that time was very, it wasn't that big, and they wasn't doing a lot of business. They were poor. And he said one of the ways to fight the poverty is do business with one another. Before you go out and buy your fans or something that you may need that you know another brother or sister selling, buy to them first, even if it may cost a little more than the other guy, because most of the times when our people are in business and their products cost a little more than this other guy, it's because they're not able to buy in bulk or a lot of it where the cost can go down. But when you do buy from one another, it will have an impact, like Brother Tariq said, and it will be a little bit of the money passing around until we can grow into a bigger network where, you know, we're doing more business with one another. And that's my comment.
You know, and Shahid, may I add to Shahid's comments on Agnes Khan? And also, reportedly, they are so strong now that their people go, they borrow from themselves to go into business now. They're so financially strong now.
Wow.
And they don't have to go. And they started with umbrellas. They started with umbrellas. And so, but now they are so financially strong, they borrow from themselves.
Excellent.
Wow.
Excellent. All right, brothers, we got about
5 minutes. I wanted to say, could I say one more thing about that? And I'm through. This guy, Aga Khan, the people appreciated his suggestions and what they were doing so much, that how they were bringing business back and increasing their wealth. Every year when the guy's birthday came up, they used to put him on a scale and pay him his weight in gold. Yeah.
All right. So, again, we got about 5 more minutes. Our mics are open. Before I do any closing comments, we still got time to hear from you.
Well, right quick, this is Tariq again of the Entrepreneurs and Development Network. If you have any questions concerning our network, we can be reached at 228-209-2877. Again, 228-209-2877. And we do these workshops using PowerPoint. Now, I don't send people my PowerPoint. However, I will if you want, you know, I might not have said it, but if you want to purchase a PowerPoint, I'll let you have it that way. But in the PDF format, I'll let you have that free. okay, if you want to see how, what to know about how to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you.
Okay. Before we go, I'd like to go to our – okay. We've got time for one or two more comments. The mics are still open. All right. Any of the directors, again, did any of our directors from Black Wall Street anywhere other than the state of Virginia, do we have any directors from Black Wall Street? We love to hear from you guys. Any members from Black Wall Street, we'd love to hear from you. All right. Well, then, if you're not a member, we certainly ask you to join Black Wall Street by going to Black Wall Street USA, BlackWallStreetUSA.org, and you'll see memberships, or you can go to the New Africa Business Association.com, and you also see the membership. Brothers and sisters, we were just commenting, and you've heard many comments about the success of different countries or different peoples and what have you, and we congratulate their success, but at the same time, the African Americans. The African American market. Brothers and sisters, I look at the statistics, like you said, as a financial planner, I'm always looking at statistics of, and in this case, income, money being spent. And the African American community in just in consumer spending, and we're going back 1 year ago, and you've heard me say this before, but it must be repeated because you keep hearing this thing about money's going out of these. No, the African American communities in 2019 had consumer spendings of more than $1.3 trillion. Now, brothers, let me say something. I've looked up statistics also. I haven't seen no country in Africa. No country, and even many of these places we talked about, that says they have more than $1.3 trillion in their entire budget, and the country's income don't even bring in that kind of money. So here it is, African Americans, just our consumer spendings. We ain't talking about the money that we put in the tax revenues of this country. We're not talking about monies that has been unaccounted for. Many of our citizens don't work, so there's a lot of monies out here that you would say is underground money that is unaccounted for. We're not talking about the huge amount of monies that we put into our church donations and our masjid donations. Brothers and sisters, all of these monies is going directly to the Federal Reserve. And after it goes to the Federal Reserve, it's going directly to Wall Street. We ain't doing nothing but just putting monies into a country to make the country very rich and powerful and making ourselves very poor. So this the reasons for taking an example, Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street, the old Black Wall Street, the destruction of Black Wall Street, the reason those folks were successful is because they was a financially vested community. A financial invested community that bought on huge success that we're talking about today. We want to use that example. So again, we don't have to look on the outside of our country and say these folks did this, these folks did that. No, we as African Americans are blessed with the. We are one of the richest folks when it comes to our income. And the country, as a matter of fact, we looked up some statistics and it said might be the fifth, and when it comes to country, we might be the fifth richest country in the nation, and they compare our income with Great Britain. And so, again, that's the kind of income just African Americans in the United States bring in. No, brothers and sisters, we and become vested and start growing our business. And like I said, you want to grow black businesses right in your own black communities. That's where your cost and that's where your spendings is going on. So, again, if you got a Chick-fil-A's or a franchise or something like Buy jointly and put it right on into your own community. That's where you're going to make money. Again, we're going to be switching over here to Black Wall Street here in just about a few more minutes, as you say, 10 seconds. But we thank you for being on, and we'll be back next Wednesday again to network market and to identify businesses in the Black community. Until then, I am saying good evening and thanks for your participation.
That's some legging, folks.
Well, legging is slow from Tola.
Mm-hmm.